Today is the start of the election period as set by the COMELEC. And that means in the next 108 days, the COMELEC will have powers not normally it exercises because of election. And because this is also election year, expect this year's economy to be defined by excessive political spending. Never have laws that limit spending per voter by politicians. Most of them will get around that. Political positions in our culture are worth spending every possible cent and peso. No cost is too much just to have that power. Now, let me ask you, what will define your own spending this year? Ano ang pagkakagastusan mo sa taong ito? Ang pinagkakagastusan ng ating pananalapi ay nagpapahayag ng ating mga pinapahalagahan, ang ating mga prioridad. And it is imperative for us to refresh our thoughts periodically that we are accountable to God for the use of our resources. And this is a good occasion for such refreshing thoughts as we expound the last portion of our series in 2 Corinthians. The last two chapters of our series, chapters 8 and 9, have the most concentrated teaching on giving. We rarely have the subject of giving as a discourse of this pulpit, but these chapters direct us to address that very subject, so be disposed to be taught, to be challenged, perhaps to be searched, or even rebuked. It is a matter of grace, and this is one thing that chapter 8 repeats over and over again. When we think of giving more than obligation, primary to the sense of duty is the sense of grace. We respond to the grace of God, and because God has been gracious to us, we think of giving as a response of grace before duty or obligation, and that is something that we need to refresh periodically in our thinking of giving. Like other graces such as love, joy, peace, so giving is a grace that must grow in us. And here, Apostle Paul, we saw in chapter 8, mentions an unnamed brother who will travel with Titus, representing the churches. And why was this brother chosen? He was not given a name. The assumption is that he is well known enough to the churches. And the sole description of this brother is that he is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. And I suggested the thought, since the project of Titus in going to Corinth, he is being sent by Paul, is about fundraising, why not send someone who is good at promotion of money matters? Well, that is not what the churches did. They made sure the brother who will accompany Titus is famous for his gospel preaching, which shows us that gospel preaching, the priority of the gospel, must define our exercises of benevolence. Then Paul mentions another brother who will go with Titus to Corinth, and together with the earlier one mentioned, and they are appointed by the churches. And again, the whole spirit that emerges from this passage is that everything is going on with a proper estimation of the role of churches. Hindi ito mga private organizations or cooperatives. I have nothing against those, but when it comes to Christian exercise of benevolence, we see the involvement of churches, and it is from that perspective we now come thankfully to the last chapter of our series, chapter 9. I invite you to turn to chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Let's read the first five verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1 to verse 5. Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove vain in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift and not as an exaction. Well, the word that we find repeated again and again in this passage is the word ready, readiness. Mentioned no less than 5 times, kahandaan. Now, the literal usage that Paul uses from the Greek vocabulary of the several he could have used, he used that which literally means to prepare a meal. Have your meal ready. So, the readiness that Paul is using here is not the readiness we use when we think of being prepared for danger. Rather, this is ready for serving, readiness to serve. And Paul is telling the Corinthians that he knows of their readiness, and he has been, in fact, speaking. Even the word he uses is boasting to other churches of the readiness that he finds in the Corinthians, and that reputation for their readiness to give has stirred up the churches, the brethren, and we see here the impact of that on churches. I have this simple message. A church that gives readily has a stirring impact upon the cause of Christ. Ang iglesia na handa sa pagbibigay ay may impluwensyang pumupukaw para sa simulain ni Kristo. A church that gives readily has a stirring impact upon the cause of Christ. Now, while Paul is boasting of the Corinthians for their readiness, on the other hand, he is anxious here that they might fall short of the expectation. And so he sends these brothers, because if they fall short of the expectation, it will lead to Paul, not to mention the Corinthians themselves, being humiliated in the eyes of the brethren. Pinagyayabang niya ang kahandaan ng mga taga-Korinto, at pagkatapos kung dumating ang kanilang kaloob na masyadong mababa kaysa sa inaasahan, ay mapapahiya si Pablo sa mga taga-Macedonia at sa iba pang mga iglesia, kaya't bagamat tiwala siya na sila ay handa talaga, ganun paman, sinugo pa rin niya itong dalawang kapatid upang tiyakin na sila ay tunay na kikilos ayon sa kanilang kahandaan. So Paul expects the Corinthians to live up to their known character of readiness, of giving. But in sending the brothers, we see how is that readiness cultivated? Well, in 2 ways. First, informed giving, pagbibigay na may kaalaman, informed giving. And secondly, willing givers, mga nagbibigay ng may kusang loob. Willing givers, informed giving, willing givers, this is what makes a ready church. Informed giving. To make sure that they know what is at stake, he sent the brothers in advance, according to Paul, to let them know. Now, what we learn here is that ready giving is the fruit of deliberate knowledge. Ang kahandaang magbigay ay bunga ng mga sadyang kaalaman. Hindi mga aksidente ang ating ginagawang pagbibigay, kundi dahil sa nalalaman natin. Ito ang gustong mangyari ni Apostol Pablo. He wants the Corinthians to be ready, and the way to do that is by sending people who will inform them because of what is at stake, not only in terms of the amount that they will give as contribution, but their testimony to the brethren. So Paul, in other words, will not leave this to an on-the-spot decision. Through these messengers, he sends the Corinthians advance word. What is at stake? What really is needed? So that you may show forth your readiness to give. Every now and then in this section of our series, I have warned of the peril of the habit of on-the-spot giving. Pag dumating na sa offertory, or what the people call the offertory portion of the service, doon pa lang nangangapa, doon pa lang mag-iisip anong ibibigay, hindi maari ang ganun sa tunay na pagsambang sa paraan ng pagkakaloob. Kinakailangang handa at upang handa alam, may impormasyon, may kaalaman. Now, there are times when we are put on the spot to respond by giving. And there we have to make a judgment call. But for matters of church ministry, of kingdom cause and benevolence, make sure your habit of giving is based on knowledge, based on what you know. And again, the pattern, the great pattern here is the sending of God's own offering. What offering did he send? This is precisely what Paul is giving as a thrust of motivation to the Corinthians. Remember chapter 8, verse 9. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. The offering of God is no less than the Lord Jesus, and it is the act of wisdom. It is the act of eternal knowledge. It was not an on-the-spot, impulsive decision on the part of God. It was thought out. And with that pattern, so must our habit of giving and offering. It must be the product of deliberate knowledge. So here, the Corinthians have built a testimony in the eyes of other churches of their ready giving, mainly because of Paul's boasting about them. Well, here we see a pastor may acknowledge what good is in his church by the grace of God. This is not a boasting of carnal bragging, but this is a boasting of giving glory to God for the good, the virtues that he finds operative in the church. Now, Paul is anxious that for lack of information, the Corinthians may not know what is at stake and needed. And so he sends these brothers for such information. And on our own exercise of the duty of giving, this is the reason why we give regular reports, why we have our annual meeting 2 weeks from now. All this is because we believe that an informed church is a giving church. Now, ask that of yourself. By knowing what is at stake, the brethren who will be beneficiaries of the giving, the ministries that are being sustained by our giving. What ministries are sustained because we give? And when we know that, it will activate that sense of liberality and generosity. But we must know what we are doing. Have you heard of the affluenza teen? This is a teenager who drove his car under influence, in fact, positively drunk. In the process, he killed 4 people and injured several. And when he was arraigned in court, imagine the defense put up by the lawyer. He said this teenager is afflicted with affluence that has led him to not know what is good and what is evil. I mean, what kind of defense is that? And that is why it's called affluenza. If you think, what kind of defense is that? The judge bought it. And he was given a very light sentence, in fact, probation. And then later on, he jumped bail and is now under negotiation that Mexico must bring him back to the United States. But you see here, the utterly objectionable idea that because you have so much money, you don't need to know what is right and what is wrong. No, precisely the opposite. If God gives you resources to give, you must know the issues. You must know what is at stake. And the result, as Paul says, is you are making a stirring impact upon the brethren, which means that by way of challenge to us, seek to have an impact on the cause of Christ through liberal giving. Sikapin mong magkaroon ng ambag sa simulain ni Kristo sa pamamagitan ng maluwag na pagbibigay. Now, the sort of impact from the Corinthians that Paul is encouraging is how, in Paul's words, their zeal has stirred most of them. The brethren, it has a stirring impact Interestingly, the word he used in the original is often used in the negative, in the sense of provoking or causing resentment. Now, obviously, that cannot be the meaning here, not the negative. Rather, here, to steer is to move. As when we sometimes say, I heard a stirring speech, meaning something very moving. You know, the reputation, the testimony of the Corinthians, of their readiness to give, has stirred, has moved the brethren. When they heard of it, no one remains unmoved, or most were moved. Now, some of you may be thinking, hey, kung maluwag na pagbibigay, hindi ko yata magagawa yan, pastor. Ako isang dukha lamang, at ang aking pagbibigay ay hindi aabot sa maibibigay ng mas nakaluluwag. Well, tandaan ninyo ang istorya ng Ebanghelyo, the widow's mite. Ang maitutumbas natin sa isang pera ng isang balo sa gitna ng maraming nagbibigay ng kaloob sa templo, ang pinansin ng ating Panginoon ay ang nagbigay ng sampera na balo, sapagkat kasama ng pagbibigay na iyon ay ang kanyang buong espiritu. She was the one immortalized. In other words, her testimony shines, and many generations have been blessed by the testimony of a widow's mite. And that's the kind of reputation, that's the kind of testimony that is intended to stir up. So know as much of the concerns and needs of those you are giving your substance to share. And then be ready. And as I explained, the word ready means something prepared, ready for serving. And that should be the way we offer our gift and offering. Just as when the Father sent His Son, that offer is ready to serve. For those of you outside of grace, the grace that is offered is right there, ready for you to feed upon by faith. Come to Christ. He is continuing to offer that grace which is now ready. And as we imitate that readiness of the Father's gift, let us be ready with ours, not the habit of on-the-spot giving. And as a church, we share information as much as necessary so that our giving is informed and deliberate, and we know what we are doing when we give. That's informed giving. A study was done on the survivors of the Nazi camps during the Second World War. As you know, many of them were Jews. It was found out that many of those survivors practiced giving and sharing their food. Most of them thought the only thing to survive is each one to his own. Baka maubusan ka ng pagkain, magugutom ka, so huwag kang papahuli. At kung anong pagkain meron ka, sa'yo lang yun. Yun ang umiral na mentalidad. But it was shown by this study that it is in fact those who shared and gave of their food that ultimately survived. Do you share? Do you give? O baka ang naiisip natin kung minsan ay magagamit ko pa ito sa mga mahalagang gastusin. Ba't ko pa ibibigay? Well, let us have that attitude that because we know what is at stake of the kingdom, of the church, of the ministries, of brethren's need, we give with deliberate knowledge, informed giving. And secondly, the way to cultivate a ready church that gives is willing givers. Listen to Paul. He said, "The gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction." Dapat ang inyong kaloob ay kusang loob, hindi pinilit, hindi pinuwersa. And what we learn here is that a gift made ready signifies the willingness of the giver. So the giver who has a ready gift to give, rather than just thinking on the spot, signifies more the willingness than a giver who decides on the spot. A gift made ready. And this again explains why Paul decides to send the messengers in advance so that the gift is ready. Na kapag dumating na ang mga taga-Macedon, mga delegado ng Macedonia, ay nandun na, nakahanda na ang kanilang mga kaloob sapagkat hindi lamang ito para sa mga praktikal na dahilan, kundi pagpapatotoo ito ng kusang loob, diwa ng kanilang hangarin na talagang makapagbigay. So the advance team will remind the Corinthians of what they have themselves promised as their gift. So the desire to fulfill what is promised is one hallmark of willingness in all areas. When you do something according to your promise, it's a hallmark of willingness. It's much more so in the area of giving. Listen to the warning of Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Now, you might say, no, Pastor, I did not make a vow. Need I remind you of the covenant? It says to sustain all ordinances and to share in all the expenses of the church. That's a vow. And do you fulfill that vow? The opposite of willingness for Paul is what he calls an exaction. This is a word used in the context of taxation, sa pagbabayad ng buwis. You know, every time that tax season comes, maaaring sa inyong sitwasyon, naka-arrange na sa office, may tagabayad na, o maaaring ikaw mismong pupunta sa banko para magbayad, but who delights in taxation season? Parang wala naman sigurong sabik na sabik, malapit ng bayaran ng tax. And that is what Paul is saying, that kind of spirit is contrary to willing giving. Hindi dapat ito obligasyon. Or the New King James employs the word grudging obligation. And grudging obligation is not giving at all. If you feel it is being taken away from you, that is not giving. Eh, parang kang hinold up, kinuha yung iyong pera, naibigay mo dahil sa takot, and on the part of your giving, what is it that makes it grudging obligation? Let's remove all that kind of spirit. God's gift, remember, Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also give us all things? Isipin niyo, ano kaya't baligtarin natin? Imagine the reverse. He freely gave us all things so that he can spare his son. Sige, ibibigay kong lahat ng gusto mo, material, mga pansamantala mong pangangailangan. Pero hindi ko ibibigay sa iyo ang aking anak. Kumbaya, ipagkakait ko sa iyo. Anong resulta? Ay masagana ka nga, ngunit walang kaligtasan. I love that song we sang. I joined in the anniversary. Oh Lord, give me an undivided heart, faithful and true. And that's very applicable to the exercise of giving. Readiness. We do it, di ba? When you really want to watch a coming show, let's say a concert, you usually purchase an advance ticket. Ready. Because there is that desire, whether it's a game or whatever, you want an advance ticket so that you make sure it's ready, the seat is ready for you. Well, it is something like that. If you really desire to share, to have an impact upon the kingdom of Christ through your giving, you make your giving ready. And the effect, again, is in the words of the Apostle Paul, what we should seek, stir up the brethren through your ready gift. Pukawin mo ang kalooban ng mga kapatiran sa pamamagitan ng handang pagbibigay. A ready gift is one sign that the spirit of sacrifice is still active in the church and in the churches. And when such a ready gift becomes the habit of God's people, ultimately it goes back to what grace has done in those people. Hindi ito resulta lang ng disiplina, mahalaga iyon. Hindi resulta lang ng programa. Anong dahilan na nagkakaroon ng willing gift ang mga tao ng Diyos? When David was preparing for the temple, he was told, as you know, by Prophet Nathan, you will not be the one to build the temple, but your son, because you're a man of war. Anong ginawa ni David? Hindi siya nagmukmuk na hindi sa kanyang credit mapupunta ang templo. Sa halip, nag-ipon na siya. He already generated funds so that his son may use it for the building of the temple. And in fact, when it happened, when the people gave willingly, David was so profoundly amazed at the result. Listen to his words in 1 Chronicles 29:9 and following. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. And what did David say? Successful program? Gimmickry? No. What did he say? Verse 14, but who am I? And what is my people? That we should be able to offer willingly. For all things come from you and your own, and of your own have we given you. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. Una, sinabi niya, yung mismong ibinigay, bahagi lang ng ibinigay ng Panginoon. We are giving from what you have given to us. But hindi natapos na lang si David doon sa ibinigay, kundi yung mismong diwa ng pagbibigay, why were we able to offer so willingly? He says, this is of your own. So both the spirit as well as the actual gift are from the Lord. And when we see that operative in the church, what a beautiful spectacle. And that really stirs up the brethren. A willing offering and a liberal gift are not for self-conceit or for contempt of others. We do not say, malaki offering namin, maliit lang sa inyo. I have heard that kind of comparison among in conversations between pastors, and I find that disgusting. We don't use our offering to be contemptuous to others. It is for the stirring up of the brethren for the kingdom of God. One practical application of this is when you come to church for regular gathering, have a prepared gift and offering. Again, I repeat, it is not something especially for the visitors. We want you to know this is not monitored in this church. Your gift is between you and God, an act of worship. But be ready. The opposite of brethren being stirred up is discouragement. Yan, yun ang gustong iwasan ni Pablo, na the Corinthians may fall short of expectation, and the result will be discouragement. So let that flourish in the church, in our church, the spirit of readiness to give. In the world, there is so much stinginess of sharing. The prevailing attitude is give what's our spare. And then you see lavish spending for luxury, while their attitude to benevolence is sparing. And that pollution of greed is suffocating in the world. But when we come to church, we should breathe the fresh air of liberality. And its token is a ready gift. So we have a regular opportunity to stir up the brethren every time the offering is taken, every time the report is announced, to see that the brethren are willing and ready to give. Can you say that the gift you have offered to the church as an act of worship was a ready gift? One of the most moving books I have read is the book by Richard Wurmbrand, Tortured for Christ. It's a story of his imprisonment and how he was tortured because of his faith. But even in prison, he was a firm believer in tithing. Now, you know my stand on that. I believe in tithing as such, but it is not something that we need to be hammering out, because giving in the New Testament should be more than the tithe. But then, the story is that Wurmbrand was a firm believer in tithing, and what he did? Every 10th day, his ration for food, he would give away. That's his tithe. So, for 9 days, the food is his. The 10th ration, he will give away. And that became his testimony for the Lord Jesus. Now, are you a firm believer in giving a willing gift? And how does that show in your offering? May our church, Grace Baptist Church, qualify for Paul's description of Corinth as a ready church. And one thing for us to cultivate that is always bear in mind everything that is ours belongs to the Lord. Let us sing our last hymn, where Fanny Crosby reminds us, I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and the prayer is draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord. Let's close in prayer. Dakilang Diyos, mabuti naming Ama, nagpapasalamat kami sa hamon ng iyong salita at nawa nga sa pagbibigay, pagkilala ni Pablo ng kahandaan ng mga taga-Korinto ay maging hamon sa amin na bilang iglesia rin, ay maging handa kami sa pagbibigay. Help us, Lord, that our giving may be informed, as Paul did, make sure that the Corinthians know the things that are at stake, and that precisely is the reason why our church is seeking to give as much information that we could. We pray that this may encourage us to practice a habit of giving that is not on the spot, but rather prepared and ready, and help us to seek to have an impact on the cause of Christ through liberal giving. May we correct any spirit or attitude that will militate against such testimony. We pray also that as givers, we will be characterized by willingness rather than grudging obligation. We ask your blessing upon us, that we may see that offering you have not spared your own Son, and with him the promise of giving to us freely all things. And may we have that attitude, therefore, of being used to stir up the brethren through readiness of our giving, to show our willingness, and may one hallmark of our giving be that of fulfilling what we have vowed, fulfilling what we have promised. So help us, Lord, to see, as we have sung, that we are thine. Everything we have, everything we enjoy is thine. And we ask that our prayer might be, we be drawn nearer to our Lord Jesus, that we may embrace his cause, his kingdom, and have impact on it through a ready gift. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.